Go to John 14. Glory to God. Oh, blessed be that. I can't get enough of the right hand of God. I'm just naming everything the right hand of God these days. I have a whole section in my computer now called the right hand of God. This file after file after file. And the beautiful thing about the word is the level of depth that's in it. And so the thing you want to never do is think that you've got it all. Amen. Because every time you pass through, you're going to get it in another light and it gets deeper. See, and it's that depth that causes the release into the Father. So we've been talking a lot about the Father's bosom. I'm going to show you something that is pretty amazing. Some of this you'll know, and some of this, might be new for you, but I want to look at the roles. All right, John chapter 14, I'm going to look at verse 15, and I want to look at the roles of the Godhead. This is pretty amazing. I'm going to show you a few things here. Let's look at the Holy Spirit first. John 14, verse 15, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I'll pray the Father." Really, this commandment he was speaking was about following him through the cross, but we'll get into that later. He says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Amen. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither know him, but you know him." Isn't that amazing? "For he dwelleth with you," now this is very important, "and shall be in you." You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know. And not only he lives in there. Let's go on. Verse 26, "And but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." See, he couldn't come and live in you. He could be with you until Jesus came. The law of the Spirit of life raised your spirit from the dead. And then he could indwell within Christ in you. He couldn't indwell within you before. There was no place for him to live. But now he does. That's important. Now let's look at his role for a minute. So Holy Spirit has a role. Jesus has a role. This is pretty amazing. He said, "He shall teach you all things," Holy Spirit, "and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said to you," and particularly what he's been saying to them in the book of John, and all of the words, really. But he said the Holy Spirit is going to bring these things into remembrance. He's going to teach you what I have. Now, go on down to chapter 16. Let's look at it again. He speaks of the Holy Spirit as well. Verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come." So here he is speaking again of the Holy Spirit. I want to pick it up in verse 12. He says, "I have yet many things to say to you." Now, you have to remember, he's only talking to 11 men here in the upper room. Okay, this is his final words. He's telling them, "I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you, and you're going to need his help because he's leading you somewhere." All right? So you look at, he says, "I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." There's a lot of things about God we cannot bear depending on our level of maturity. A lot of times you'll be speaking right on truth, but it might be a very high level, and someone comes in and maybe been walking with God 20 years, but they can't bear that because they've never been taught that. It can't even register in it. You see, and sometimes they walk right out when God's trying to bring them to the next level. Amen. He said, "You can't bear it." Now watch what he says here. Verse 13, "Howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come," you know, when they, The Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I finally understand what that meant. I'm like, okay, well, how do I worship God in truth? What does that mean? That I'm worshiping him. I'm in truth, Father. I'm in truth. What, you're going to go worship God in a lie? What did that mean? What it meant was that Jesus said, no man can come unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man goes around me to the Father, he's a thief and a robber. And he that honoreth the Son, the Father sent me as a spokesperson. I don't even come in my name. I come in his. I come to represent him. I don't even speak my words. I speak his words. The works that I do, they're not my works. They're his works. Though he was the Son of God, he came as a representative. He came as the Son of God, but he was representing the Father. Okay? And they that came to the Father had to come through him. He says, he that honoreth the Son, the Father would honor. And he would bring up through the Son into his bosom. God did not reconcile you to the cross. He reconciled you through the cross unto him. He didn't want you to get stuck at the cross. You get stuck at the cross, you're going to live in the gates of salvation all your life. And what's going to happen if you live in the gates of salvation is you're going to live a crucified life, but you're never going to have a launch. If you don't get launched into resurrection life, then you'll go around suffering for the rest of your life. You'll be a nice suffering, and you'll learn the process of brokenness, but you'll never understand the greatness of the resurrection. See, we can't get so we got to come into the resurrection. See, so God reconciled us through the cross unto himself, and we came through the Lord. Amen. As we come through the Lord, God's reconciling us unto himself. Amen. Praise God. All right. Now, the Holy Spirit, watch what's going to happen here. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Look at this. Now, notice this. This is really interesting. Because the Lord didn't speak of himself. In the last two services you've been here, I showed you all through the book of John about 10 times. I didn't come of myself. The Father doeth the works. I don't speak of myself. Amen. Now the Holy Spirit hears too. Let me just read you a few so you'll know. Just, you don't have to turn to these. Watch this. John 5:19. Then answered Jesus said to them, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. John 7:16, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 5:30. John 8:28, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. He was taught of the Father. John 8:42, neither come I of myself, but he sent me. John 12:49, I have not spoken of myself. You see that? You get it? He did not represent himself. Now watch the Holy Spirit here. This is going to be real important. If you're going to get to the Father, you're going to need some help. You need to know what each one of their roles is to get you to the one you want to be with. Trust me, you want to be with the Father. Jesus died for the express purpose of you coming to the Father. So you could enjoy the joy that he has with the Father. He gave you his place. All right? But they're going to get you there, both of them. The Holy Spirit and the Lord. Both have roles here. Now watch what it says of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit. Oh, I meant to say that. I knew I'd miss something. He said, hey, worship him in spirit and truth. He goes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father. So if you're going to worship the Father in spirit, you're going to have a new creation because you're going to have to come to where he is. He doesn't dwell on that mountain or that mountain. He is a spirit, and you're going to have to come into his kingdom now. That's what he desired for people to come to where he was and to worship him and, more importantly, to contain him. Your fallen nature, I promise you this, could not contain the love of the Father. It's so intense. He hit me with something last week, this day, Thursday last week. It was so intense. My body was wiped out for half a day because of what he put in my spirit. Amen. But they worship him in spirit and in truth, meaning we had to come through Christ in order to worship him. You see what I mean? If you came around any other way, a lot of people think of they're worshiping God, but God does not honor that kind of worship because it didn't come through the truth. He had to come through the way, the truth. We had to come through Christ unto the Father. It was the only way you could go in, see. As you worship him in truth, in spirit, and he sought that kind of worship. He that honored the Son, God would honor, see. Amen? It would say, I'm in the truth. And the spirit of truth lives in you. And the spirit of truth is going to teach you about the truth. All right? Verse 13, now howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, Holy Spirit has come. Watch. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. He goes, I don't speak of myself. He doesn't speak of himself. I'm like, well, who are you speaking for? There's nobody speaking of themselves. Get it? We are not supposed to speak of ourselves. We should probably tell half the leaders in the body of Christ that. Kind of skipped over that. We are not here to represent ourselves. We get the message right. We get to the one who has the glory, the love, the presence. He's got the goods. The Father has the goods. I tell you right now, we got to make it to the Father. Church kind of stuck. They haven't made it to the Father yet. Well, I know God's my Father. That's not what I'm talking about. I knew God was my Father week after I was born again. I can pray Father just like you can pray, which art in heaven, but we haven't made it to him where he is in the right hand where Jesus represents us. We've got to make that journey. That's what faith is in you for. What did you think the Holy Spirit's leading you to anyway? Well, he's leading me into my calling. That's only part of it. That's your function. So you get to be led in your function and your calling, and you get to be led, well, he's leading me to Africa. Okay, when you get to Africa, now what? Well, he lead me back to America. Then you get back to America, now what? Well, he lead me to the grocery store. Okay, after you go to the grocery store, then where are you going to lead you? Probably not leading you to the grocery store. Oh, what is he leading you? God's a spiritual being. He's leading you to him. It's only taken 23 years to figure that out. You know, a lot of dead ends to find out where that leadership's going. Now, notice the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of himself. He's not represent himself. He does not represent himself. That's important when you come to him. He's representing someone else. You're going to get represented a lot before you get to the Father. I'm representing the Lord. The Holy Spirit's representing him, too. So if you get turned over properly to the Holy Spirit, guess what he's going to do? He's going to turn you over to the Lord. All right? Now watch this. He does not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He'll show you things to come. Look at this, verse 14, very important. He shall glorify me. You see that? He will receive of mine, and he'll show it unto you. Receive of what? You're a joint heir in the inheritance, according to Romans 8 and Galatians 4. If you're a joint heir, he's going to show you what he did for you and why he did it. He's going to receive of the inheritance that I have left you. He's going to show you that inheritance that I've given you. He won't speak of himself. He won't glorify himself. He will glorify me, Jesus. That's why if you try to worship the Holy Spirit, if you've ever done that and you feel kind of funny about that, the reason is because he's not in this dispensation receiving that, because he's sent to glorify another, which is the Lord Jesus. Amen. So he'll always turn that to Jesus. Now, when this dispensation's over and everyone who's could have been saved, he'll assume again, he never lost his place in the Godhead, but we will worship the Holy Spirit in eternity future. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But in this dispensation, that's why. It's, now, some people will tell you can worship him, but I get a funny feel. How many of you get ever tried to do that and got a funny feeling? It's like, this doesn't just register. You try to worship the Holy Spirit, that just doesn't register. Anyway, you honor him. and thank him, but understand his role. He said, he shall glorify me. He will receive of mine. He'll show it unto you. All things the Father has are mine. Oh, wouldn't you like God to say that to you? That's a lot. The Father has a lot. He said he gave it all to me. I'm the firstborn. I am the inheritance. I have the right to the full inheritance of the Father. As the firstborn, it all came to me. But the Lord shares it with you as a joint heir. But you're going to have to learn to apprehend the inheritance. To do that, you're going to have to understand what he did. So the Holy Spirit teaches us of that inheritance. Without the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't even be in the right hand of the Father. I have to give him the utmost honor. You know, people want to hand me books all the time. I really don't have time to read books because I'm so enthralled with this one right here. There's so much in it, and I really appreciate books, and I'll have books of my own and things of that nature. I really do, but I can't get out of this one. There's so much in here right now. I can't. He's been such an incredible teacher. The Holy Spirit has. I can't tell you what a. If you spend time with him, everything he's teaching you is for a purpose. Sometimes it's building blocks. You know, there's series. The Lord told me that he goes, I taught you series that you used to have. He said, he goes, you won't need those. Those are building blocks to get you. He goes, but others won't even have to go through that process. It's amazing. There was a series he did that was teaching me how to access God through communion. He was just teaching me to open up gateways. And it's not that we don't do communion, but going up into the right hand through communion. He said, you won't even need to do that anymore because you know the pathway and you can teach a much more expedited pathway to him. You see that? But everything he teaches you is for a purpose. Amen? It's to get you to the Father. Now watch this. He said, all things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, verse 15, he will take of mine, the Holy Spirit, he will show it to you. Who do you think showed us the right hand of the Father? I'm not that smart. I can tell you right now, the Holy Spirit opened that. He glorified the ministry of the Lord. Amen? So that's what his ministry. He said, he shall glorify me. Now let's look at Jesus for a minute. Go to John 17. Because here's what's going to happen when you get close enough to Jesus. He also is going to glorify another. He goes, I didn't come to represent myself. I've come to represent the one that I love. Amen? I'm going to open your understanding up a little bit here. John 17, verse 1 said, these words spake. You'll never get enough of John 17 from verse 1, the whole chapter. There is so much in this chapter. I was passing through the other day and the Lord said, I got to take you one step higher. I'm like, God, I'm gleaning. He goes, it's in there, son. It's in there. He said, you don't even know the meaning of oneness yet. He goes, it's in there. But you got to keep passing. See, it's that light that breaks through. The God of this world system, he blinds the eyes, see, and the blinding. But the word, it removes the blindness. Each time you're subjected to truth, it takes the blinders off. Amen. John 17, the words that I spake Jesus, these words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Wow, there's another operation I was telling Chuck about. He goes, no, don't go there yet. There's one you go up, and there's one you go in. I see them both. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It will be in you a well springing up into eternal life. Now, go to John 14 real quick, one more time. I need you to see this. I'm going to show you, this is awesome. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Okay? In verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, this is really, You have to really meditate the book of John to know what he's talking about, these commandments here. What he was talking about is following him through the cross. He that will have my commandments and keep them, you'll follow me, you'll be with me where I am. That's what he's talking about. There's in particular commandments he was speaking of. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. See, when you follow him through the cross, he wasn't there to keep you at the cross. He was meant to take you to the Father so you could be loved of the Father the way he's loved of the Father. He thought enough of that to die for you. You thought he thought enough of you for salvation. He thought a whole lot more about getting you through the gate of salvation. He wanted to get you to the Father so you could experience the love that he's had for all eternity with the Father. He was bringing you to that place. That's why he died for you, because you had no way to get to the Father. You couldn't contain him. I got touched a little bit of it last Thursday. It ruined me. I said, I'm ruined, God. What am I going to do? You touch me with something like that? Where am I going to go? I'm ruined in a good way. Watch this. He that hath my commandments, keep them. He loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Because I'm going to bring you through the cross. And I'm going to bring you to him. And you're going to be loved of the Father. God, if we can just get everybody there. Jesus. He says, watch this. Now, he just said, in verse 17, that the Holy Spirit would be in you, right? Nobody has a problem with that. Watch this. Watch this. He says, he will love, if a man love me, verse 23, he will keep my words and my Father will love him. We will come unto him. We. Everyone say we. That's Father and Son now. We. Maybe Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All of them. We are going to come to you. Watch this. And make our abode with you. Make our abode. That's why you're the temple of the living God. You came to house God, except what's going on inside of you is not of this world. It belongs to another kingdom. And there's different ways to access. You can go in the temple or you can go up. I had to draw something. The Lord showed me something. I'll show you in a minute. And Judas said, not Iscariot, said, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, not unto the world? Verse 23. Jesus answered, said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, in particular the words of John, where he was trying to get them to follow him through the cross. John 7, chapter 8, you know, they wouldn't follow him. They wanted to kill him instead. And he says, you do dishonor me. And we got into all that. He says, you'll follow me on in. If you will love me and follow me in, I'm going to bring you to the one that you worship now from a distance. I'm going to bring you to him, but I'm going to give you something that can contain him, because I'm going to make you a new creation. When you're a new creation, I'll present you to him, and I'll present you faultless. We've been getting into that. I'll present you holy before him, unblameable and unreproachable, because I'll put something in you that he accepts. He'll accept you just the way you are. I'll make you a new creation. In fact, I will forever perfect you. And when I present you, when he loves you, he's going to love you in me. He's going to love you with a love that's not of this world. You're not going to find it anywhere. Whew. Now watch this. Verse 23, and Jesus answered, said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him. Look at this. And we will come unto him, Father and Son. Holy Spirit was five verses earlier. And make our abode with him. Jesus is not the only one living in you. Holy Spirit's not the only one living in you. The Father's living in there too. You're a temple that's containing the Godhead living inside you. You know, there's a way to tap into that, but we're going to teach you how to ascend first, because you better learn how to ascend before you learn how to go in. There's a lot of great men and women of God. Madame Guyon, she knew how to go in. You can go up and you can go in. God's not really, you think it's up because you feel it's up. Jesus looked up okay? But if I drew a circle, I wish I had a chalkboard here. Follow me. So I drew a big circle, and this is the earth, right? And let's say I'm at the North Pole worshiping God, right? Up here. Got my hands raised at the North Pole. Chuck's at the South Pole, and he's worshiping God and got his hands raised, except his hands are not raised that way. They're like that. You see that? So my hands are raised that way, and his hands are raised that way, and both of us are looking up. You got that? East, west, north, south, east. So we got it going in all directions. God, to where you're standing is up. But the Spirit, there's no time and space. It just feels like it's up. That's why when you learn the principles of ascension, you're trying to ascend up out of this jurisdiction. You see what I mean? Because what's up here, it's down that way, but it's up to them. You got that. And if to the right, which is your right, it's up to them. Your right is their north. Your north is your north. Your west is their north. Your south is their north. Y'all got that? If you lift your hands up northward, you're all north. So when you're lifting your hands, God is his kingdom, the spiritual realm is all encompassing. There's no time or space. But you have to learn to ascend because you're learning to break out of the jurisdiction. You've got to learn the ascension if you're going to get with the Father. If you don't learn how to ascend, you're not going to experience one of the greatest things for which Jesus died for you. God's going to make his abode, but God's also within, because that kingdom that you're reaching into when you ascend or you break the barrier of jurisdiction, it feels like you're going up. That same kingdom is within. But your faith, the natural inclination in your faith is to go like that. So follow that path. Amen? You got to get used to that path and open that pathway. But the Father's container of love is within you. You know why you can love? Because he's in there. But listen, God can live in you a lifetime and that love will never come out. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. You can experience God's love one day and be a very loving, charming person. And the next day, your flesh can take over and you're going, okay, wait a minute. Where did Mr. Love go? What happened? You're just meeting someone's old man. Are the parts of him, their flesh, it still hadn't died? There's still parts of that. Though you contain God, you still got parts that haven't died. And sometimes people are going to meet that. That's why Paul said, know we no man after the flesh. Especially Chuck, because you're going to see his flesh, but know him. Don't know him like that. When you see Tim's flesh, don't know him like that. Know him after the Spirit, because that's a true him. God's changing the rest of them. Know me after me, you know. Amen. Amen. You got it. God is living in your temple. You are a temple containing the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All of them are in there. Now, they can all be in there, and you never get in touch with them because they're living in another jurisdiction, even though they're inside of you. That'll blow your noggin. You got two jurisdictions. You got a body that belongs to this one. A spirit belongs to another jurisdiction. Do you understand? You're going to have to get in touch. That's why it's easier to ascend, because you're breaking that barrier. When you learn to get in that other jurisdiction, everything comes alive. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost comes alive in you, because you're in their jurisdiction. When you live in this one, it'll contain you and lock it all down. You are God's worst enemy. But we lock him down. He can live in us in a life. This is what I don't get. How can you live in us in a lifetime and we can't get in touch with you? And you're in us. How much more can he do? God is coming live in you. And yet we don't see the full expression of the Godhead. You know, I'm like, how does that love that I know that's in the right hand when I ascend, how do I get that love to go out of my belly? Shall flow rivers. It shall be in you a well. How do I unlock it within? He goes, let's just work on the ascension right now. He goes, then I will teach you how to unlock. He goes, when you learn to unlock that river, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's the one the Holy Spirit anoints with dominion. But you got to learn to break the jurisdiction. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? All right. Now go to John 17. Now, if you feel a wall when you're trying to break the jurisdictional barrier, that's what you're supposed to feel. Everyone goes through that. That's why you have faith that overcomes the world. You got to develop your faith. Don't let the wall back you down and get discouraged. Think something's wrong with you. Here's why it's very important you understand Jesus is presenting you faultless before the Father. You're going to luck that a lot when you hit the wall because you're going to think God's denying you. You know, something out of heaven. I just don't like you today. Nope, you can't come up. Can you imagine God allowing his son to die for you, that he could bring you into his bosom, but then deny you? Now, how is he going to tell his son that died that horrible death, there's just something I don't like about him today. They can't come up. He's not denying you. He's presenting you faultless. See? Jesus presents you unblameable, holy. All right, now, let's get into John 17 a little bit. Okay, remember, the Holy Spirit said, he shall glorify me. He'll receive of the inheritance I purchased for you. He's going to show you that inheritance. What is the inheritance? The right hand of the Father. He says, you are a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Dearly beloved, partakers of the heavenly calling. The Holy Spirit's what has to teach you. He's going to teach you how to break the jurisdiction. He's going to teach you how the spiritual works. He's going to teach you that realm, but you got to spend time with him. And don't let your mind teach you. You spend time praying just with you and your mind. You got to spend time in here and let him teach you from the source right here, the Word. This is what the Holy Spirit's going to use to teach you, the Word, not what you think about it. Amen? All right, John 17, verse 1. I've been trying to get here for the last 20 minutes. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Now, when he does that, when you see the Lord lifting up, he's moving. He's ascending into position with the Father. Like Nicodemus, no man has ascended from heaven except he that descended from heaven. No man has descended from heaven except he that ascended to heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. That's what he's doing when he lifted up his eyes. He was talking to Nicodemus. He was in heaven. Of course, in some of your translations, they'll take that part out. It's like, how can he be talking to Nicodemus while he's standing in heaven? He knew how to come into his Father. I got to learn that. I am going to learn that. Right now, I got to sit down. I got to get after it, and I got to go in, you know. But I want to do this. I want to go from Clark Kent to Superman. I want to walk in that booth and go. I gotta do that quick change booth. I need to. So Superman's in the spirit. See, I gotta get. But you gotta learn to break the barriers, and you gotta get accustomed to that. But Lord, he could look up and he was there. See, he was there with the Father. When you're with the Father, your whole perspective changes. All right, now watch this. He lifted up his eyes. There he's Superman right there, and said, Father, this is why he said, when you pray, say, our Father, which is in heaven. He just kind of took it for granted. That's where you would be praying. That prayer will be a whole lot more powerful for you when you actually pray when you get into the heavens. Amen? We're praying from here. I'm telling you, there's a big difference when you pray from this jurisdiction or when you move into that jurisdiction and pray. Oh, my. My. Intercessors, learn to pray out of that jurisdiction. To do that, you're going to have to pierce the veil. You're going to have to go through the veil. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Yep. Father! Verse 17. Chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 17, verse 1. Father, the hour has come. Watch this. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. You know what that means? Anybody? as thou hast given him power over all flesh, he should give eternal life as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou sent. I have glorified thee, Father, on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. He hadn't finished it yet. You know why he's saying that? Because he's already there. You'll actually watch through this prayer. He takes the disciples from the earth into the heavens. He takes them through the cross in his prayer. He says, Father, they're not of this world as I'm not of this world. He takes them through while he's in the prayer. He walks them through. We'll get into that another time. Verse 5, watch this. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. This is such a powerful verse. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And he mentions this again in verse 24. He says, Father, I will they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that I had with you from the before the world was, that I'm being restored to. All right? For thou hast given me, for you loved me from the foundations of the world. Now, here's what he's saying. Verse 1. He's not back in position with his Father yet. And he's asking now, Father, bring me back. He's actually asking in verse 1 for verse 5. Okay? Let's read it again. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Now look at verse 5. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He's actually, if you'll read chapter 16, he says, I go to the Father. I go to the Father. I'm going back to where I was from the beginning. I'm going to go back into his bosom. And he's asking now, Father, glorify me again. Bring me back into the glory I had with you when I was one spirit with you. At your right hand, for you loved me from the foundation of the world, Father. And the glory I had with you from the foundation of the world in perfect harmony and perfect relationship. He's talking about his ascension, see. In his ascension, he says, bring me back into that place, Father. And so he's asking, Father, in the first verse, glorify the Son. He's asking him to bring him back into the right hand so he may glorify the Father. Now, this is important. This is important. He's going to glorify the Father once he gets into his position as the mediator. When God glorifies him and brings him back in and raises him and sets him down at his own right hand. All right? Let's look at this 1 second real quick. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Don't miss what I'm about to tell you in the next 5 minutes. Hebrews 1. Verse 1, keep your fingers in John 17. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's the whole Old Testament. He was speaking. He goes, hath in these last days, New Testament, Hebrews 1, verse 2, has spoken unto us by his Son, when he came out of Jordan. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He is now my new spokesperson. What he says, he's not even coming to represent himself. He's coming to represent what I want to say to you. All right? Whom he has appointed heir of all things. He appointed him the heir. Okay? Now, Jesus purchased and he gave you a position of joint heirship. He sent the Holy Spirit to teach you about that joint heirship, of how to come into that joint heirship, how to release that joint heirship, and how to get where you're supposed to reign. You've been raised together and made to sit together. I can tell you all day long, but it's the Holy Spirit that will truly teach you how to ascend into your position as a joint heir. He does not represent himself. He represents what I did for you. He glorifies me, the Son. The Holy Spirit will glorify the Son. The Son's going to glorify another. I don't come and speak of myself. Who being the brightness of his glory, verse 3, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. That's where he sat. That's where he returned to, and he returned into his position of perfect oneness with the Father, oneness in the place where the Father loved him. When the Father ever really, really starts loving you, you'll understand why that's so precious and what Jesus paid the price and died for you to come into that kind of love. Amazing, amazing love. So here Jesus is saying, now, Father, in John 17, he says, now glorify me, bring me back into the right hand. Bring me back into place. Then what he does at that place, he goes, that I may glorify thee now, Father. Remember, the Holy Spirit glorifies the Son. Guess who the Son glorifies? He glorifies the Father. Jesus glorifies the Father. That's why if you get close enough to him, he's going to turn you over to the Father for which you were born and destined to be with. This is why he said, watch this. This is why he said, if you'll back up in one verse, chapter 14, John, we're back in John. Come on, y'all, step with me. We're back in John. Hallelujah. John, just the most amazing book here. Y'all stay with me now. Don't let that spirit of Nod get on you. That's where Cain was banished. You are not of that bloodline. You are of Seth's bloodline. We do not banish people to the land of Nod around here. Amen? John 14. Amen? Verse 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I'll come again to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. My Father is greater than I. Now, I've said this a couple times, but those of you not heard me say this. Now, get this picture. He's got 11 disciples up in the upper room, right? 11 of them. He's telling them, I'm going away. How'd you like to be one of those 11 in here that your master's leaving you? That's why he said in earlier in that chapter, he goes, I will send a comfort. I won't leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to come back and get you. Don't let your heart be discouraged. I'm going to come back and get you. You can imagine, yeah, right. You can imagine the disciples, where is he going? Why would he leave us right now? Everything's perfect. But I want you to hear what he said. He said, you've heard I said unto you, I go away, I'll come again. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I go to the Father. My Father is greater than I. Why would that be encouraging to them? Let's say that Chuck is Jesus and he's telling us, which he's not. But let's say Chuck is, Pastor Chuck is Jesus. He said, you're going away. He goes, but he says, well, I'm going to my Father. He's greater than I. If you love me, you would rejoice. But what does it have to do with me? What's that got to do with me? I'm glad you're leaving. I'm glad you're going to somebody greater than you. What about me? You're still leaving me. He said, no. This is the part you've got to get. Because I asked the Lord for years. I said, why couldn't I have been one of those 11? Not the 12, but one of the 11. Just in case, you know. Got to watch your words, you know. I said, why couldn't I have been one of those 11? To walk with you? And he said, listen, you would rejoice to know that I'm going to one greater. And he says, don't you understand? I'm going to him, but I'm going to come back and get you. And if you think living with me on the earth, Paul said this, he says, though you've known Jesus after the flesh, know you him no more. In other words, though you walked with him in the flesh, you don't know him like that anymore. He said, if you think walking me was something, wait till I come back and get you and bring you to him. You think having me love you is something, wait in the flesh or in his world, and you know he carried the 100-fold glory of the Father. Wait till I put you with him, because he's greater than an I, and I'm going to bring you to him. So here's what he's saying in John 17. He's saying, Father, glorify me back into the right hand that then I can stand in my position as an intercessor, as a high priest, and as a mediator, and I will glorify you to the nations, for the Holy Spirit will bring them to me, and then I'll present them to you. I will glorify you, for my mission, Father, is to glorify you. As the Holy Spirit's their formal teacher, He's glorifying me, showing them who I am. As they come to me, I'm going to present them to you, Father. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to bring them into your right hand as a mediator of the right hand, as a high priest of the right hand, as a mediator, as an intercessor. I'll ever live to make intercession for them from the right hand, for I am the high priest who passed into the heavens. And I'll make intercession when they come. I will glorify you, Father. I will bring them into me and share my throne with them. As a joint heir, I'll share the position you gave me when you raised me into the right hand. I'll share it all with them. I was the firstborn. I received the inheritance, and I'll give them my inheritance so they may know you, Father, the way I know you. So as I return to the love I've had with you from the foundation of the world, I'll bring them with me. So you may love them, Father, the way you've loved me. For I will, Father, that they may behold my glory that I have with you. That they may experience it by true visitation. I will it, Father. They may behold my glory which I've had with you from the foundation of the world. God never intended us to be stuck at the cross. He wanted to bring us all the way unto Him. God, to wit, was reconciling the world through Christ unto Himself. He is our mediator. He is our intercessor. He is still not representing Himself only in salvation. He's still representing the one He came to represent in the first place. When we get the message right and start representing Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in this life, God's going to approve. And when He approves, the first thing He's going to do is love you like you've never been loved. He's going to love all the stain away. And then when He's loved you sufficiently enough, He's going to introduce you to life. Pure, unadulterated life. And then He's going to introduce you to power. And then the power shows up. You won't have to ask the Lord and tell them. You won't have to preach eloquent messages. You won't have to even create a presentation. You'll barely have to advertise. The ones who'll advertise is the blind, the deaf, the lame, and the maimed, for they'll be made whole. And you won't have to worry about whether somebody wants to lay their life down. Get a blind person from birth healed. Get little Stevie out of his body, out of that wheelchair he's been confined to. You won't have to ask whether he'll be at church every Thursday or Sunday. They're going to make the finest disciples. They're going to make the very finest disciples. They'll be full of fire. Unlock somebody from the wheelchair and watch what kind of witness they'll be. They will love God with all their heart because they would have spent their life locked down like that. Amen. We get the privilege of introducing the world to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus. He gets the privilege of glorifying the Father. He will, if you get close enough to Him and understand His mission, begin glorifying the Father to you. The Holy Spirit will help you get to that place. He'll teach you how to release up out of this jurisdiction so He can bring you to the Lord. He'll teach you of your inheritance, all the spiritual blessings flowing in heavenly places. He'll teach you that. He'll teach you what this word really says and not what men say that it says. And He'll show you the life in it. And then Jesus will present you before the Father faultless, perfected as a new creation. He says, Father, I'll glorify you then to them. Holy Spirit glorifies me, and then I'll glorify you. For all that is mine, Father, is yours. And all that is yours is mine. And we'll bring them. Now get this. You might be ready for this verse now. And I'm closed with this. John 17. Verse 20. Neither I pray for these alone, that was the 11, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that's you and me. 2,000 years ago, we believed on the word they wrote, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, they also may be one in us, that the world may believe you sent me. Do you know what that's not talking about? Let's all have a unity gathering. We need to get the pastors of the city together. When we get the pastors of the city together, God will have revival. Well, how come he hadn't done that? How many times the pastors got to get together? After they've done that 50 times, you think that, well, if we do it one more time, then God will certainly hear. Or how about a big, massive citywide repentance? How many times are we going to repent? I'm not making light of repentance, but after we've gathered together 50 times, if that unlocked revival, if it unlocked the Father's glory, don't you think it would unlock it already? Well, we just got to do it one more time. God will heal our land. He already healed your land. How about if we all come together in the oneness that he's talking about here, if we all come in to the place he prepared for us in the Father's bosom, the Father, that they now can come to be one the way we are. For the love that you have for me, I am one in you, Father. I am perfect, made perfect in oneness of spirit, and I'm going to bring them up to where I am, Father. And I'm going to share what you've given me, and we're going to make them one with us. They're going to come to live in me, and I'm going to come and live in them. I bet if we get the whole city into the right hand, I would imagine it will come down. It'll go, whoosh, the glory will come down. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Now watch this. Verse 21, they all may be one, Father. You are in me, Father, and I'm in you. That they may be one in us. He's going to bring you. Just like Jesus lives in you. Do you know who else lives in you? The Holy Spirit and the Father. Guess what? In the right hand, you live in the Father. Because you're living in Christ. He sits at the right hand. He shared that place with you. You go into him. Now get this. When the Father loves him, he loves you. You can receive the love the Father is releasing towards the Son because you're in him. Your faith can reach into that realm. That might be too much right now, but now I'm learning to eat there, but the other day, the love started releasing from within. He goes, I'm in you too, son. You're in me in the heavens. I'm in you on the earth. Shaka. Better do a lot of shakas to get this kind of revelation. Look at this. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, Father. What glory? Verse 5, glory. Now, Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The glory to sit at his right hand and be loved of him and be filled with him and be clothed with him and be one with him. He goes, the glory you gave me, Father, that I'm returning to, I'm bringing them with me. They're in me. And now you'll get to love them the way you love me. Oh, man. It means a whole lot more when it actually is happening to you. Now watch this. And he explains himself. Citywide unity meeting. Here it is, verse 23. There is a unity meeting going on. It's just not, it's in the kingdom. Verse 23. I and them. Everyone, who has Jesus in you? Thou in me. If he's in you, guess who's in him? The Father. Now get this. You, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and the Father's living in you there. See, it's in you, but in the heavenlies, you're in him. You're in Christ, which is in the Father. And then the same thing, the kingdom, he's in you and the Father's in him. See that? You'll get it. It takes a little while to digest, a little bit. Especially if you think this is a citywide unity meeting, it'll mess with your mind here. Verse 23, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, perfected in one. What does that mean? You're in the Spirit. You're in Him in the Spirit. Just like He's in you, when you're in the heavenlies, you're in Him. And He's in the Father at the right hand. You have the ability and the right to come into the Father. Through Christ, you come into Christ and He's presenting you perfectly to the Father. Now, when the Father starts loving you, you'll know that you're one, see? That love will pour down from there. It'll start infilling your spirit with something that's not of this world, my friends. It's utter, definitely not of this world. That's why when the world shall see my love and your love one to another, they'll know that you're of me. We haven't tapped enough of His love for the world to see what His love looks like. We've been trying to walk around with our love. Ever walked around with your love? That's that stuff you're just trying your best with self-discipline. Putting that smile on your face. Man, I've been in enough of it lately. I tell you, you get around people that betrayed you, that hurt you, and you have nothing but pure love. It's just the most amazing stuff. It comes out of the intercession. I tell you one thing, you can bring them up into the right hand of the Father, and the next day they'll call you. I just felt like God told me to call you. Mm-hmm. You was with me in the right hand of the Father last night. You just didn't know it. I said, man, this thing come over me. I said, yep, came over me too in the right hand of the Father. That's why you got to learn that jurisdiction. That's why the devil would rather to keep you just a nice religious disciple. Come to church all your life. Just don't access any of this stuff. That's why he hates me. He hates this place. There's nothing he can do about it. It's going to be heralded around the world. The right hand of the Father is going to be given a very prime platform in the last days. The world's going to hear it. They're going to see it. They're going to experience it. God's going to have His way. His people are going to come. He's going to get to love them the way He wants to love them. And when He does, He's going to perfect the spot and the wrinkle. I think I was closing. I and then verse 23, thou and me, they may be perfect in one, that the world may know you have sent me and has loved them with all the love you've loved me with. Father, my final will, I will that they be with me where I am. I'm going to the cross, Father, and I'm going to bring them with me into the right hand so you, Father, can love them the way you've loved me. My God, that'll make a lot of difference when you actually start drinking it. Amen. Let's give Him a hand. Hallelujah. Come on up. You go ahead and close too with it.
Glory. Oh, this is awesome. I want to just read it to you out of John 15 because it's the same thought process. John 15 verse 8. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And in the same way, that as we bear forth fruit and it glorifies the Father, so Jesus is when He brings us into that place of abiding with Him, is bearing forth the fruit that glorifies the Father, which is basically the same thing as He was saying. And if you read on down, just as the Father, verse 9, has loved me and I loved you, abide in my love. And if you will keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've abided in the Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. It's the fullness of His joy to bring you into the abiding place with the Father. And by that, the Father is glorified. By that, He gets the opportunity to bear forth fruit. You are the fruit that He is bearing forth to the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What's that? All right. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay. So Father, we just thank you for the words and the ministry that's been served from the table.
Amen. Amen. The Lord just asked me to pray for you guys. He just said, I want you to pray and ask the release of my grace. I want you to real quick, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. I want you to give him place to be your teacher. He wants to bring you into the truth, and the truth wants to bring you to the Father. So Holy Spirit, first, as sons and daughters, as disciples, we give you a new place to be our teacher, our comforter, our lawyer, that you represent us, you teach us of our inheritance, you show us. All of that inheritance was entrusted to you for you to show it to us, to teach us how to come into it. And tonight we give you that place. We ask your forgiveness for ever offending you and grieving you. And we ask you to take that role again. And we give you that place afresh and anew to begin instructing us, opening the word to us, and bringing us to Jesus. Father, you said that we could come boldly to the throne of grace. Jesus opened that throne for us, and we ask for the grace to abide continually with you. Grace to be taught, grace to be instructed, grace to ascend, grace to sit down with you, grace to understand. Give us grace. We come boldly into the throne of grace and ask for your grace that we may be brought to you. Holy Spirit, bring us to the Lord. Jesus, you are our intercessor. You are our high priest. You are our mediator between us and the Father. As we come to you, present us perfect. Present us holy. Present us blameless. Help us get through the barriers. Help us get through the walls. Help us break the jurisdictional boundaries. Help our faith overcome the world system. Help it overcome the second heaven. Help it overcome the flesh, that we may come into the Father's bosom for which you died for. You died for this purpose, and for which you have so generously shared your throne with us, that we could come and be with you, in you, and share the glory the Father's given you as the firstborn. That we can be loved by the greatest being in all the universe, our Father. That we can know our Father. Father, we ask these things tonight. Let none of these words fall to the ground, Father. But let them bear the fruit of the right hand. In your mighty name, Father.